Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, normally on Fridays, which this is that day, national economic data is often released, oftentimes because it's a good day to do that, because you're kind of looking back the week just passed and you're looking ahead to a week ahead. And it seems that much of our national mood, I know you've all noticed it, it hinges on the economic health or the perceived economic health of our people. If jobs are good, the economy is good, people generally tend to be happier. If the economy is down, people tend to be a little bit more sour. And I think we all know that. And that's why in most cases, when elections come, historically, people end up voting their pocketbooks, so to speak. But have you ever thought about where wealth comes from personally and nationally? Whose money is it really? And particularly as Christians, do we have any clear responsibilities with our wealth other than to save a little and spend the rest? Well, today on Stand in the Gap Today, we're going to talk about some of the primary principles surrounding the concept of wealth, stewardship, and wise investing with our special guest, William Parker, CEO of Grandview Asset Management, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and my special guest on our upcoming Money Mission Friday program, which we're going to be launching more specifically and intentionally here in the not too distant future. But with that introduction, let me welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohrer. I'm going to be joined by Dr. Gary Dull, Senior Pastor of Faith Baptist Church, Altoona, Pennsylvania. And Gary's also the Executive Director of our Pennsylvania Pastors Network. Well, William, let me go here first with you into this matter of whose money is it anyways, and biblically responsible investing. I'd like for you to highlight, before we get into this discussion, which we're going to more intensely in the next three segments, but always this time of week, generally, as I was talking about, certain economic information is in the regular press. There may be lead economic news. I'm looking for it right now. I don't find too much that's headline news necessarily today, other than the fact we just heard on Fox News right now that the market is down, but there are things like that to come and go. But one of the things we've talked about on this program a number of times from different perspectives is this issue of the president imposing tariffs on imported aluminum and steel, and for which cases most people, it doesn't really apply to them, they think, because it seems too distant and it's not very interesting. But on the other hand, there is an impact of that. So just as an example, since we followed that, you and I talked about it right at the beginning on this program, what do you think so far is happening as a result of the president's tariffs from a policy perspective and from an economic impact perspective? What are we seeing?
Well, you know, there's going to be some economic impact on the fact that, you know, aluminum has gone from $2,000 to $2,500 a ton over the past 2 months, which is a little bit shocking. I think it's a spike that will go away eventually over a period of time. The reality of it is that we've been dealing with unfair trade practices with China for the past, I don't know how many decades, and it has to come to an end. I mean, they're not only stealing our jobs, they're stealing our intellectual property and selling it to other countries. So I think that the president is, you know, his battle cry is standing up for the American worker. And I think that he wants more jobs, more factories. And, you know, why can't we build TVs in Ceilings Grove, Pennsylvania? And why can't we build, steel manufacturing plants in Louisiana? What's changed so much that we can't do this? And the reality of it is it's been cheap labor. It's been tariffs set on us by other countries. And, 60,000 steel manufacturing plants have been shut down over the last quarter century. country. And, you know, from a defense perspective, we wouldn't be in a very good position if we went to war with somebody right now to rebuild our Navy. So the president knows that it's not just steel jobs or aluminum jobs, but it's bringing manufacturing back to the United States, because he's really out there fighting for the common person out there. And, you know, it's funny, and I mentioned this before our show, we talked a little bit about this. It's always been the Democrats' cry, the battle cry, we're working for the working, you know, we're battling for the working person, you know, the blue-collar person out there. Well, you know, it's no longer their cry anymore. It's become Donald Trump's battle cry is to get these people back to work, and it's working. We have the lowest unemployment numbers across the board in all sectors. And he's bringing jobs back to America, and part of that has to be the fact that we're going to use tariffs to do that.
I think, William, you're making a good point there. And ladies and gentlemen, you say, you know, if, you know, some of you listening right now are really clued into economic things. For a lot of folks, it's kind of nonsense. But in reality, somebody needs to be thinking about these things that, William, we're talking about here, because it impacts every one of us. You brought the matter of foreign policy, the matter of whether or not we're able to fight a war. The president knows that. That's why these things have to be done. And there's a lot involved in that. Well, one item I'm looking at here right now that is on headline news today, and I was going to bring it up anyways, but it just came up here right now, and that's the price of oil. Now, everybody listening knows as they're going out, they've been paying a little bit more bit by bit for the gas and the diesel they're putting in their vehicles. That's a big deal. But now this morning, the president here has just now come out, and he's put OPEC, which is led by Saudi Arabia, which is very interesting, put them on notice and says, all right, guys, you're keeping the price of oil artificially high. It's above 60 bucks. And I think his actual word, as I'm reading, is this will not be accepted. Now, I find that interesting. Comments on oil and perhaps what the president's doing and all of that, because some folks are saying, William, that, well, the price of oil at 60 bucks is actually good because it makes American drillers able to pay for it. But on the other hand, the president's saying that's still too high, ought to be lower. What do you think about that and the whole issue of oil?
I agree with him. I mean, we have enough oil and gas in the United States to be energy independent from other countries. We're actually exporting oil as we speak. I think that the reason why the president's upset about this is that, you know, if you take a look at Russia, their major money maker is exporting oil, you know, to Europe. And there is this backdoor relationship that's taking place with Saudi Arabia and Russia and China when it comes to oil prices, and they're artificially inflated, I think. And it really should probably be in my opinion in the $50 range. And American companies can still make a lot of money in that range. But I think that there's some negotiations that's taken in the background here to prop up the Russian government by selling their oil at a much higher price.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening today to Stand in the Gap today. Our general theme, money and economics, it all belongs to God. Now, when we come back, we're going to go into this whole concept of, and I've kind of given it away, but whose money is it anyway? When you talk about your wealth, your land, what you have in your bank account, you may think it all belongs to you because your name is on that account, perhaps, but is it really yours? What's the Bible say about it? We're going to talk to Gary Dahl and William Parker about this because that helps. That's the foundation for what then we do with what we have. Stay with us. Right back.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Here's what Dr. Jimmy DeYoung has to say about Stand in the Gap.
But I just feel compelled. This is an unsolicited testimonial that I want to bring to your audience. This opportunity that the people listening to you have to reach this nation with the truth, biblical truth, constitutional truth, has to be taken care of. The American Pastors Network, there's no parallel in all of America with that. The 425 radio stations, I mean, that's an unknown. And I don't know that anybody had put that kind of a network together to do what these guys are doing. And it's got a true focus as far as a talk program. Look at here. You've got a former politician who would probably still like to be a politician. You have a pastor of a church, and you have an itinerant evangelist that travels all over the nation making impact the way he is. Folks, you got to support Stand in the Gap Radio. I just wanted to pass it along because I'm so impressed with this ministry.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Well, the Bible speaks a great deal about money, about wealth, about ownership of that wealth, and the duty to use it properly. The Bible also speaks a great deal about investing, looking ahead, and laying up treasure, some on earth, but not really to be too much, or to lay up treasure in heaven. There are duties, of course, to our families and children here, but there's an emphasis on the eternal. Well, at the same time, God promises prosperity and an increase in wealth to those people and those nations who follow God's commands and fear and trust in Him. Well, so the theme of money, the importance of money, the difficulties that come when there is no money or no diligence in how it's spent, that makes life much more enjoyable if you have it, or as Proverbs says, if poverty sets in, so much more unenjoyable. There's a connection here in real life. I think we know that. So, Gary, let me go to you here first, because out of curiosity, you and I have talked some, but I don't know what you're going to say here, but out of curiosity, how important is the theme of money and money relating to things in Scripture? And you preach about it. I know you have. We just had a brief conversation about it. I know you've spent a lot of time, but what do you relate to your congregation about money, about wealth, about what the Bible says? And if there is one primary emphasis that you relate to your people biblically that you want them to walk away from whenever they hear you preach on this subject, I want you to relate that as well.
Well, I think you and William can sit back for a while. I've got a 10-week series on this subject, so here we go.
Well, it's obviously a very low priority, Gary, right?
Yeah, it is.
10 weeks. Go ahead.
But just allow me to say a couple of things. First of all, I remind people of what 1 Chronicles 29 and 14 says. That, well, I'll just read it. It says, "For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." Everything that we have comes to us, first of all, from God Himself. And when it comes to giving, we're not giving our own finances. We're not giving our own possession. We are giving unto the Lord that which He has first of all given to us. But then building upon that, just a couple of bullet points to take into consideration that I share with my people fairly regularly. Number one, that giving unto the Lord is one of the highest honors we could have. God doesn't need our gifts, but He gives us the opportunity as an act of grace to give unto Him. Secondly, giving is a way to increase our income. That's found throughout the pages of Scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that when we give unto the Lord through faith, God brings the increase. Number three, giving is a command of Scripture. It's found in 1 Corinthians 16:2 and other places throughout the Word of God, Proverbs 3:9. Even though it's a command, certainly it's a command with great blessing that even wherein God even says, test me, try me. If you give to me, I'll show you how much I will give back to you. That's Malachi 3:10. A fourth point I bring out usually is that giving is an act of love. If we love others, we give to them. If we love God, certainly we are going to give to Him. Then number five, giving is a tangible way to worship God. It's interesting that in Psalm 96, when it talks about worshiping the Lord, it tells us to bring an offering. And then one of the things that I often indicate is that the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17 tells us that when we give to the Lord, He places it on our account in heaven, which means it's going to bring eternal rewards. Just a few things that I bring out to our people regularly here at the church I pastor.
Excellent, Gary. Very, very good. William, let me go to you. You manage, you're not a pastor. You manage people's money for them, and that's the business that God's put you into, William. So, and I think we all come at from a little different perspective. I know I was in the Pennsylvania General Assembly, as you know. I served on appropriations for 14 years on that committee, and I chaired the Finance Committee for some time. And so I was involved in helping to establish public policy here in Pennsylvania for how to spend the taxpayers' dollars as well as how to raise the revenue. And that was a position that God put me in there for a period of time, as well as I'm a father and I have to take care of my own family. But you're an asset, what you call an asset manager, you're a wealth manager, you have people come to you for what to do with their money. I'm curious from your perspective, when they come to you, what do you try to emphasize to people, William, about their money? You heard what I said about Gary, what he tells his people from the pulpit. What do you tell your people who come to you about their wealth and whose it is, and, you know, lay that out for me.
Well, I mean, all this money belongs to Christ. I mean, our treasures are in heaven. They're not here on earth. And, you know, obviously we have children, which are treasures given to us by Christ. But, you know, the thing that I try to emphasize with them is I ask them, is it important for your moral and religious beliefs to match your investments? And most people, I would say, a majority of people say, yes, that's important to me. But no one's ever asked me that question. And what I'm going to say, secondly, is going to shock most people listening to this show. If you're invested in 401ks at work, or you yourself are picking out mutual funds, and I'm not going to name any names of large mutual fund companies. I think everybody's aware of who the big players are. You don't realize that by investing in these mutual funds within 401ks, or you yourself are picking out mutual funds, or you're going to an advisor that works for a brokerage firm and they're putting in mutual funds because of returns, so they're talking about returns, that you're actually profiting from pornography, abortion, human trafficking, LGBT programs, and you're profiting and investing in those things that go against the grain of Christ and the teaching of Christ, and you're profiting from it unknowingly. Most people do not realize that they're profiting from this, and most people are shocked when I do like an X-ray of their portfolio to show them where they're invested, and that they're invested in these things, in human trafficking, pornography, or whatever it may be. They're shocked. I don't want to be in that, they say. Put me in something different. So Sam and I have been working on this for quite some time. We have a website called BRIinvesting.com, which explains BRI investing and how to get in touch with us. But you should be sitting down with your advisor, and even if you work for a company, and you should be talking to the people running the 401k saying, I want my religious beliefs and moral beliefs to be able to be invested in inside my 401k. And I don't want to be part of pornography. I don't want to be part of abortion. I don't want to be part of human trafficking. And you should, as an investor, have the right to do that. And I can tell you that most of the Americans that are listening to this program today are unknowingly investing in these things that are evil.
William, I agree with you. I don't think most people know. Now, we're going to talk more specifically about when you say BRI investing, or that stands for biblically responsible investing. And we're going to go more into specific detail in the last segment. Here, we're trying to establish the fact, and I think we have, Gary, you established the fact of whose money is it anyways? William, you and Gary and I would both say it's God's money.
Absolutely.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if that's the case, and that's what the Bible says, if it's God's money, then shouldn't we, to the best of our ability, back up and look and say, well, where is my money? Where is my wealth? Gary, how do you approach that issue with your people? Because it may cause people to change a lot of the way they do. Tell me how you relate that to your congregation.
Well, I think that's a very important question, because I agree that the average person in the pew has no concept where his or her money is being used. One of the things that I encourage people to do, to be honest with you, is to invest in ministry. in missions, in Bible colleges, and I'm sure that William can expand upon this if he would want to. But there are mission organizations, there are Bible colleges, and so forth and so on out there that have programs whereby if individuals invest in them, it can bring residuals to them. And you know, or you hopefully know, that by investing in ministry organizations, then your money is going to be used to bring honor and glory to the Lord. It's really an oxymoron for you to make money and save money and receive money from the Lord and then give it to some organization that's going to create it or turn it into dirty money. I think it's important that Christians be responsible to find out where their money is being used and then invest it accordingly and appropriately.
William, we only have about less than a minute here before the break, but when we look at this whole area of what Gary said, dirty money, they're sometimes called clean money, biblically responsible investments, those things that don't have the junk in it. Just put a number out there. What's the size of this total investment market, generally speaking, totally? And how much of that right now is being invested in areas that would be clean or biblically responsible? Do you have any numbers that you could relate just for to give us the size?
My understanding from reading different articles and different organizations that Christians in the United States control about $9 trillion worth of the wealth invested in the market. And there's probably less than $1 trillion invested in, there's about 70 mutual funds that are BRI funds, and there's a handful of ETFs now. There's hundreds, if not more than 1,000 stocks that are BRI stocks. So there's places for you to invest your money that you can earn a very good return and still worship and honor Christ.
All right. Well, very good. I think if you said about $9 trillion total controlled by Christians, but about only about $1 trillion that's actually in BRI investments. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right. There's an awful lot there, ladies and gentlemen, obviously, that needs to be examined. Now, when we come back, we're going to go next into this matter of, right, if it is God's money, or let's put it this way, since it is all God's money, the biblical principle then comes to stewardship. How are you using it? What's the Bible say about stewardship? We'll talk to Gary Wayne Parker about that when we come back.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
If you're just joining us, I welcome you to the program. I'm Sam Rohr, and accompanied by Dr. Gary Dahl, our special guest, William Parker. Our theme today is a simple one. It's money and economics. It all belongs to God. Simple, but very profound in its implications. And again, if you're just joining us, we thank you. And I want to encourage you all that if you listen to the program regularly, tell a friend, share this program with them. There's no better way to encourage people than someone, a friend, telling them. Word of mouth, always the best way. And if you're being blessed by the program, as we know so many are, and we hope that you share that. If you use Facebook, encourage by putting it on Facebook or Twitter it or email people or whatever it may be. Communicate to them about Stand in the Gap today, and that we cover the issues of the day regularly, up-to-date news, from a biblical and constitutional perspective. And you can also pick up all of our archives on standinthegapradio.com or by downloading our free app on your smartphone, Android or iPhone. Just put in the phrase Stand in the Gap. Well, let's go back now on this issue of economics and money. We just talked about the issue that everything we have, our wealth, our land, whatever we may have that we think is ours, it's not really ours. It's God's. But that brings up the next question is, what do we do with it? You know, when the Bible is properly understood, we learn that, as I just said, everything that we have, our wealth, our money, our land, our homes, and yes, parents, our children, and grandchildren, they're all loaned to us by God. And if we think that way, it really does put things in a totally different perspective, because if we believe that, then we understand that what we have is borrowed. It's been loaned to us. It's not owned. And that being the case, it brings up the issue of accountability. What do we do with what we have? Well, the biblical worldview concept changes things all around. So why is the understanding of the principle of stewardship so important for us individually? And I'm going to put down there for our nation as well. I want to talk more about this. I want to go back now and invite in here William Parker. William, as you counsel people and you talk to them about what they can do with their wealth, we were just talking in another segment about the fact that you try to bring up to them that, what do you do with your money? Do you know where your money is being invested? In most cases, people don't. But when you talk to people about finances and wealth and investments, how important is it to understand the principle of stewardship, and how do you bring that into discussions with people, that matter of stewardship?
Well, you know, that all really ties into estate planning as well as wealth management. You know, when you're talking to somebody, you'd be surprised, Sam, about 50% of the people that walk through my door don't have a will. They have no powers of attorney. I think they have good intentions to leave money to the church, or maybe they're currently giving to a missionary or to their church. But it's really not part of their fundamental program of tithing on a regular basis to certain programs within their daily lives. You know, part of being I'm part of the Kingdom Advisors Network, and you know, one of the things we do when we become a Kingdom Advisors, we make an oath that we tithe, and I think that's important for people to understand that, you know, giving. But first of all, the money belongs to Christ, and I found that the people that do take my counsel and do tithe and do give and do missionary work or whatever it may be, it seems to me that they always do better with their investments, and God blesses them beyond their means, and they end up in retirement with more money than they thought they were going to have. And those that have this centered in themselves and not centered in Christ and worried about every penny that they're going to make and not giving back to certain ministries, they really don't have a sense of joy while they're giving during their lifetime while they're working. And they don't have a sense of joy that really should be passed on to their children and teaching their children about stewardship and the ownership of money to their children as their kids go through their early teens in the college. And if the parents aren't doing it and they're not doing it joyfully and they're not letting their children know about their stewardship, they're raising children that will not understand about stewardship. So it's not only getting people to understand how important stewardship is to their well-being and why it's centered in biblical wisdom, because all financial wisdom comes from the Bible. If they're not doing it and they're not sharing it with their families, then they're setting up a second generation for failure.
William, I think that's a great point, and I think, in fact, the numbers bear that out. Gary, I want to go to you and ask you specifically about what you say and teach on stewardship, but I'm thinking of a principle, the Old Testament principle, where God, in Deuteronomy, told the people of Israel, when he took them into the land, he said, all right, now here are my commands, biblical principles, about everything, family, possessions, the wealth, all we're talking about right now. And he said, now, if you do what I tell you to do, I'm going to bless what you do. I'm going to increase your herds, which is an investment. I'm going to allow your home, you're going to build goodly homes. There's going to be an evidence of prosperity. I'm going to make you secure from your enemies, which is obviously necessary. We want that in our country. You don't want enemies coming in plundering what you have, or your investments are not secure. So God says, now I'm going to give you all these things if you do what I say. But he warned them, that's the point you just made here, William, by passing it on to our children. He warned them very carefully that when your wealth increases, you better make sure you don't think that you got it by yourself, meaning it all belongs to you, and you forget that it came from me. Because at which point you do that, everything is going to change. And that attitude of gratefulness, William, is what I think you're talking about there. If we don't pass that along to our children, if they don't understand that what we have came from God, and we've been using what we have and what they've seen, knowing that we have God to give an account for, they will end up thinking, just like God warned the people of Israel, they got it on their own, and therefore they have no understanding of what God is about and what the responsibilities are for. So anyways, that's a good point to bring it up. Thanks for bringing that up, William. Gary, let me go back to you. When you preach and you teach on the matter of stewardship, as a matter of principle, I'm sure you apply it to the finances. which you probably apply it to everything else that we're talking about, because the whole concept is everything we have comes from God. Give us a few points on what you lay out that would help our listeners understand the essence of stewardship.
Well, stewardship has a lot more. It's a lot broader than just finances. You know, stewardship includes our entire life. The Bible says that a good steward is one who is faithful before Almighty God. And of course, that's something that I'd like to teach on a regular basis. But as we are talking about the financial aspect of it, I teach it. I teach it to my congregation. We have taught it to our children. And I can remember years ago, our one son, when I guess he was about 12 years of age, went to work in the summertime for his grandfather. And when he got his check, Sam, he wanted to give it all to the Lord. He wanted to put it all in the offering. And I said, well, you know, keep some of it. But to this day, it is his desire to get to the point where he is living off of 10% and giving 90% to the work of the Lord. And so, you know, we have passed that down to our children. I could give you examples of individuals in our ministry over the years who, after they found out the joy of giving, just now have the desire to give and give and give and give. And I might say that I'm one of those. Through the study of Proverbs a number of years ago, God convicted me on this concept of giving. And, you know, it's a blessing to give. Just like somebody came to me here about a month ago in our church, and he said, I love it when you say that there is an opportunity to give. I come to church looking for special offerings to give to. Isn't that a blessing? And then, of course, I might just say this before I finish, that even in our own church, you know, we find that if we get to a point of struggling financially, we take on a ministry, we take on a missionary, and we've never had to cut back. In all these low economic times in our church, we've never had to cut back because we constantly give through the church as well. Malachi chapter 3, Sam, reminds us that when we give, yes, God blesses, but he also brings protection upon us. It's interesting not only to read Malachi 3:10, but also verses 11 and 12 along with it as well.
Well, there are a lot of benefits, and I know we're just about done here. I'm just going to stay with you just for a couple moments. When you teach your people, do you teach them that it is good to steward wisely what they have because of what they get in return only? Or is
No.
it because of our love for God? So balance that out quickly.
No.
A few seconds.
No, and that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. No, we don't give just with the intent of getting back. And I remind my people that. We give simply, number one, because we love the Lord and because of the fact that it is a command. But one of the things that I emphasize, and I think I brought this out in the last segment or two, that God doesn't need our gifts. He can do everything apart from us. He doesn't need us, but he invites us to be co-laborers with him so that he might bless us indeed as a result.
Yeah, they're excellent, excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about money today and economics and the fact that it all belongs to God. We've talked about now stewardship and why it's important. And when we come back, we're going to spend time with William Parker here and go a little bit more in depth into what we're calling biblically responsible investing, BRI investing, being very careful how you spend your money, stewarding it properly, not only for a very good return, so that God is pleased with what you do. Stay with us. We'll be right
Christian
back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in his works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. Hello, I'm your host, Sam Rohr. Can I talk with you for just a moment? We love to hear from our listeners, to hear your suggestions and which themes and guests you like the most. Let me share two recent listener comments. A handwritten note from Judy, a $25 a month partner, said this, quote, "Thanks so very much for giving us news that we just can't find anywhere else on radio or TV," end quote. And Bill said this, quote, "Every day at lunchtime, our entire furniture factory shuts down to eat. The highlight of the day for 25 of us is Stand in the Gap Today. Your comments are true and thought-provoking. It challenges us to think clearly about all the nonsense around us. We love the biblical and constitutional perspective. There's just no one else like you," end quote. Now, if Judy and Bill's comments connect with you, would you join with us as they have for just a few dollars a month? It would make all of the difference of us staying on your station. Just go to standinthegapradio.com and set up a monthly gift. And while you're there, sign up for our emails, too. There's a silent but deadly cult spreading like a cancer among us. It's already martyred millions around the world and forced others into sexual slavery. That deadly cult is Islam. Pretending to be something it is not, Islam masquerades as peace but means submission. Yet most Americans are oblivious to this danger within. You can now learn the truth. You can get an attractive copy of What Every Christian Must Know About Islam this week for a gift of any amount from Stand in the Gap Radio. With key facts from previous radio programs and guests on Stand in the Gap Today, including former Muslims, now Christians, former FBI agents, and preachers, this quick read booklet tells you what you need to know, simply and clearly. What Every Christian Must Know About Islam, an original publication of the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Radio. Yours now for a gift of any amount. Just go to standinthegapradio.com to order or write us at Stand in the Gap Radio, Box 83, West Main Street, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, understanding that all we have comes from God and is loaned to us by God is the foundation, really, for laying up treasure in heaven and also for laying up those certain things which we are to pass along to our children. Yet God promises that He will bless people and He will bless entire nations in the here and now, if we understand that all comes from Him and that we're in stewardship positions relative to those things, not ownership positions. So understanding stewardship then should cause us to carefully consider not only how we're investing from a return perspective, meaning how much we're going to earn on what we invest, but also from a perspective of in what we're investing, and is in what we're investing honoring to God from His perspective. Well, that consideration of being careful that we use God's money to invest and help companies and others, that we don't help companies working against God's agenda, is very, very critical. Yet I do believe that most people are not aware that they are using a lot of what they have, not to advance what God says, but to advance the very things we often pray against and fight against. And we call the concept of how you do that right, biblically responsible investing. And there is a way to do that. So we're going to conclude our program today talking a bit more about this concept. We're referring to it as BRI or BRI investing. And there's a website there now you can go to, BRIinvesting.com. But William Parker, you and I strongly encourage investing and stewarding funds loaned by God very carefully, and that they comply with what I just said, biblically responsible investing. Now, from your perspective as a wealth manager, define that again, what that means, and make it as simple as you can for our listeners of the reality of the fact of what our money ends up going into if we don't know, and how we can avoid that.
Well, Sam, there are approximately 9,300 mutual funds to invest in, and thousands of ETFs and thousands of stocks. Yet there's really only 70 fund families and a handful of ETFs and probably, I would say, maybe 1,000 stocks that are companies and or fund families or ETFs that directly put you in investments that honor Christ and they're not supporting abortifacia or pornography or LGBT or anti-family programs or human trafficking or alcohol, tobacco, whatever it may be. But listen, most of America, we have a long way to go here. We're maybe at 1.2 trillion and it's a 9 trillion. You know, we're talking about $8 trillion out there by Christians that are being invested in companies and mutual funds and that go directly against what they believe in, what they worship, you know, what they go to church and worship and pray about. They're directly invested in these companies and they're profiting from it, and they're not doing it on purpose. This whole movement of BRI investing is starting to take hold in the United States, and the whole practice of sitting down with somebody and not only asking somebody whether or not they want to invest in things that match their moral and religious beliefs, but also praying with the client before they leave or praying with the client when they come in has such a powerful movement, because advisors typically don't do these types of things. And when they find an advisor that's investing in their religious beliefs and praying with them, there's a comfort level that takes over the individual, because they can go to sleep at night knowing that they're not profiting from these things that they strictly don't believe in, and they strictly don't honor Christ.
Well, one of the questions that a lot of people have, William, is that the thinking is, well, okay, I would like to put my money, if I knew that it was going to go into right things, not investing in evil items as you just laid out.
Right.
But there are many who may say, but, you know, I've heard that if I do that, instead of getting 7% return a year, I'm going to get 5%, or I'm going to be penalized on my return. And obviously, I need to be concerned about my performance. God expects me to be that. But lay that out. Are investments and biblically responsible investment, does that mean that you're of necessity going to get a lower return?
No, that's a fallacy. There's been studies done on this, and the returns are really no different than the average mutual funds that are out there. And in some cases, I've been following an ETF that tracks a portion of the S&P 500. And through this most volatile time in the beginning of February, this ETF, which is a BRI ETF, outperformed the S&P 500 during the downside and the upside. So, the answer to your question is that you don't have to expect a lesser return investing in BRI investments. That's certainly there's a belief out there that it's true, but that's candidly not the case. And, you know, every year mutual funds are going to have different returns. And the thing that we're trying to create at BRIinvesting.com is getting people into, first of all, understanding their risk tolerance, and then understanding from a fiduciary standpoint, what investments do these people need to be in? Is it stocks? Is it ETFs? Is it mutual funds or a combination thereof to meet their financial goals and their objectives? And there are financial advisors throughout the United States. I think there's over 3,000 advisors that are kingdom advisors throughout the United States that people just aren't aware that they're out there. So I think that once they hear and they understand that currently investing in sin stocks and sin mutual funds, that maybe this will be the beginning of a movement, Sam, in our programming on Money Mission Fridays, to get people to think about this, to pray about it, and to change their investment style or their lineup to honor Christ. And I hope this is the very beginning of educating people throughout the United States of what they actually are investing in and versus what they should be investing in.
And ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be hearing more about what we're referring to here, BRI investing, biblical stewardship, ownership of all of it, all of what we have, all of these things we've talked about today on this program. Very, very critical. William, you talked about that when we understand that what we have comes from God, there's joy in what we have. Gary, you've talked about and you've laid it out very clearly that in your example of your church and your people, you've never seen a person able to outgive God. There's just blessings to individuals. There are blessings to nations, to all people who understand that what we have comes from Him. And there is a way to make sure that we can use properly what we have as being loaned to us from God. Now, the program's just about gone. Gary, we've talked about prayer. I'd like you to close the program today and pray for us and our people as we now enter into this weekend right before us.
Father in heaven, as we come to you, we thank you again for the opportunity that we have to put on these programs. I thank you, Lord, for William and for his ministry. I pray that you'll continue to bless him. But Lord, it is my prayer also that you will take this program today to encourage Christians and churches to have a giving spirit, because we know we cannot outgive you. And when we give, you bless us beyond our imagination. And we'll thank you for what you'll do and what you'll teach us through your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. And Sam Rohr here and Dr. Gary Dahl and our special guest, William Parker, as we've talked about money, biblically responsible investing, BRIinvesting.com. Go there. We'll talk more about it in the future. But until we talk again, stand in the gap for truth this weekend.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light, and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.